Okay, we continue in the Sefer Bilvavi. We're on page Kuf Pei Vav, and we're mentioning what one can do to work on one's fear of losing their shlemus, of their perfection, and being close to Hashem. And we spent quite a bit of time discussing the idea of stoking oneself till the body catches on fire from the neshama, and we said that's not a good idea for our generation. So we began the next one, which was setting aside some time every day to daven to Hashem for one thing, that he should want to be close to Hashem in a true way. So let's begin again from the last paragraph. Va'af shehu margish. Even though while you're asking Hashem and saying to Hashem, I should want to be close to you, and you know that even that saying it, you don't really, you know, have a lot of wanting for that as well. So emes, it's true on your conscious level, you should never think that you don't at all want, at all, like 0%. And Hashem certainly wants to be close to Hashem. And even outwardly, even overtly, there's a spark of a true desire. There's got to be something there, right? At least you know you should want whatever. Elamai, what's the problem? Shenitzu zeh biyachas lamasachim hanimtsoim elov umastir maso nira kabot lavavut. But it appears to you that spark of wanting to be close to Hashem in relation to all the coverings and obstacles that are there over that spark, it looks like it's totally nullified. Avo adam tzorach lizakesh, but a person has to be stubborn. Lo leheropos, not to weaken. Yom achri yom levakesh makadosh baruch hu devar echad v'yachid. And day after day, a person should daven to Hashem the following. Ribbono shel olam, ani roitza lirtzos liyos karev alecha. Hashem, I want to be close to you. Ani roitza, I want lirtzos, to want to be close to you. That's your tefillah. And truthfully, it wouldn't hurt you every Shemon Esrei before you take your three steps back, or by Shema Koleinu, to say that. I want to be close to you. Adayin lo bakosh al etzem hakirv. It's not even a request for the actual closeness. It's not saying, give me the closeness that I want. It's give me the wanting to want to be close. That's what we're asking for. But first we're asking to want to be close to Hashem. And once there is the wanting to be close, then you can daven for being close. So first you're davening, you say, Hashem, I want to be able to want to be close to you. And then when you want to be close, you can say, Hashem, help me become close to you. And those are the steps involved. Okay, now, on the Kudazu, on this point, Bilvad alone, Yochel Adam Lavod B'meshach Tkuf Arucha. This can take you a long time. Mishein Lo Harbe Savlonis. You don't have a lot of patience, as in anything else in what we're learning here. Noifel V'nishver, you're going to fall and be broken. V'guva Mishum She'ein Lo Maspik Rasa. You know why that's going to happen? You know why you're not going to hang in? Because there's not enough desire to begin with. As the catch 22 again. You know, you really don't want it that badly, so I'm going to give up after a week. So, because if you really wanted something badly enough, you'd persevere. And if you're not persevering, you don't want it that much. And that essentially, you know, really boils down to the problem with this sefer. It really is a question of how badly do you want it, even if it's a distant wanting, how much do you want it? And that's why quite often people, you know, don't follow up on their programs. You know, learning laws of brachas, learning laws of parenting, right? You know, we'll see how long people stick it out to the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth week. It gets to the point people don't want. And it does, the staying power doesn't exist. Okay, now, if a person will not be stubborn regarding this wanting, and it's not really going to be from the method, the first method of screaming at himself, self-screaming, you know, stoking himself, right? You could skip the, as he brings down from the Baal Tanya, the person should be bitter over the fact that he doesn't even want, right? So what if these, in other words, what if these two methods aren't gonna work? They're not working for you. These are the two preferable ways to let yourself have it. So what's the matter with you? How come I don't wanna want? I should want to want. What's the matter with me, right? And beat yourself up. But if you can't do that, and praying just, you know, isn't happening for you, so then what's left? So the third one is not the best, but it's still got another one. All of the lechas al tzaddikim u'hakshilu divrayim u'tochachoseihem yom achar yom. You should go to a tzaddik and listen to his words, and to his words of rebuke day after day. Achemashahu yispakeya etzal yivtach. Until epis, something breaks through to the guy and opens up. Now, what do you mean? Now, why this isn't as good is because you're depending on somebody else now. You're depending on going to another tzaddik, right? So to the degree that you have contact with the tzaddik, that can happen, but not always, you know, you not even can get into a tzaddik, as it were. But now what he's saying is, it's not just to hear a lecture, okay? That's not what he's saying, just to hear a lecture. But to hear how to change. You gotta hear strong words, right? And in this area, you know, for these types of issues, in other words, hischaskus, strengthening yourself, you know, hearing where you have to be stronger and change. So that really, it's optimal for a person to have the same Rebbe. And this is where, you know, guest lecturers really don't cut it. You know, if you have somebody who's an expert in a topic that nobody really is an expert in, then you bring in the guest lecturer, he's the expert in it, and will clarify it for us. Okay? If you want to know, when you're learning Masechet Shabbos, all the intricacies of the halachas of spinning on Shabbos, and the loom, and all those things, weaving, which is very hard to know. So there's this rabbi, he goes around during the Daf Yomi cycle Shabbos, he's got a whole thing, and he scribes it, he's the expert in it. So of course, you know, he's the expert, you should hear him speak about it. Or whatever, you know, a one-time excerpt, but in areas of hashpa, of trying to influence people, and musr, and chassidus, and stuff like that, where it's more of a concept of bonding with the person. So, you know, it's not just what is being said, but who is saying it, and how it's being said. So that needs consistency. You know, which means, like, you know, the whole idea of hashpa, being influenced. The idea is to say, go to a tzaddik, will influence you. Influencing you means that you're opening yourself up to get the influence. And that usually doesn't come from a stranger. It's, you know, you don't get a lot of hashpah from shul hopping. You know, I go to this place at night, this place in the morning, this one in the afternoon, this week I go here, that week I go there. It really doesn't happen. And a lot of people do that because they don't want to get hashpah. They don't want to, you know, it's just so-and-so, right? But to get hashpah, to be influenced, you know, you have to live in it. You have to be in that environment. And that's what he's talking about over here. You know, it's the consistency and hearing it over and over and over. And that's why people go to Reb Tzvi Meir, Silver in Yerushalayim. He speaks every Erev Shabbos for like an hour. He speaks much as Shabbos is ending for an hour, hour and a half. You know, and there's just like volumes and volumes. And if you read it over and over, if you're reading it as a book, you know, I have a lot of them, it can tend to get boring, because it's missing him saying it. Half of it is the way he says it, you know, and every week they hear him say it, and he says it in a sweet way, but in an exciting way, and whatever. So I got Mordechai to go now, I told him. So if you're going, I mean, his yeshiva is like really, it's like all kachim. It's like all the minute of Talmudic learning, which, for him to be an expert in, which he should, but I said, you got to have some other aspects. If you're in Yerushalayim, you know, it's good, but, you know, and the yeshiva is like really, it's like, his yeshiva is like, it's total control, you know. But I said, when it's a little relaxed, you know, to to go to see other people and to try to find a Rebbe who's going to give you this, you know, Hasidic thought, to develop that aspect, that you have to have somebody. So that's, so I'm saying, if you look at his farm, I got lots of Smir his farm. You read it, oh, it's the same thing again. It's the same thing about this, same thing about that, same thing about that. And maybe as a bestseller of a book, it's not a bestseller of a book, but, I'm sure the students, who hear him and then they read it, they're hearing his voice saying it. It's a lot different. So, but that's the type of stuff you need to hear. Okay. So that's going to be the third option. So now he explains it. Klomer. Meaning to say, imuba kochas atzma eni yachalifo. If you, with your own strengths, you can't make it happen. Hein benekudas amriris, whether it's at the point of misery and beating yourself up, v'hein mitzad his akshus lirtzos, or rather it's being stubborn to want and to keep stubbornly praying, hu chayev koach chitzoni shoroso, he needs to have an outward arousal. These external power comes from people who speak the words of truth, words that come from the heart and enter the heart. Again, so it's not just a lecture, and it's not just a rabbi who's talking about politics. You know, it's not that kind of talk where you know pshat in the pasuk and we'll make all the psukim come out. And it's a contradiction from this pasuk to that pasuk, and I'll show you how beautifully the psukim makes sense, which, you know, I'm not against that, but that's not going to make you a better Jew. And, so that's what he's saying, words that are really coming out of the heart, and on a constant basis. Okay? And again, it's not just what he says, but how he says it. And therefore, shiyak shiv heit l'rebbe, you should listen carefully to the words, palm, vod, palm, time after time after time. V'kayim b'hem, and fulfill the verse that says, achasti v'lo arpenu, I grab onto him and I don't let go. At shemashu yosef b'kim, until something moves inside of you, some button finally gets pushed, and you say, okay, now I'm gonna really try to make it happen. Now you may need to have a combination of these things. You may be trying with your davening, and you might be trying to get the ratzon, but you still gotta, you know, hear another person, then try a little bit more with your own davening, back and forth. Maybe that is also an idea. But, to give you an idea of what it means that somebody outside can make an influence, you know, inside. So, you know, there's the famous story of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Reb Tzadok HaKohen Rabinowitz, who lived in the, end of the 19th century, right? There's a big Rebbe. It's lots of Sforim, hard Sforim. So he was a student of the Mei Shiloach, the Ishbitzer Rebbe. So the truth of the matter is that Reb Tzadok in his younger days was an extremely brilliant person, extremely brilliant, and a real misnagid. It was really not Hasidic at all, right? And there was a whole story there where, and he was a Kohen. So he's married to a woman, but there's some kind of a questionable activity that the wife did. I mean, nothing like bad, but whatever. Maybe there was yichud with another man. So and he was so meticulous on his kahuna, you know, he wanted to divorce, and she didn't want to get divorced. She said, "I didn't do anything that bad, right?" So anyway, so he had to get a heter meir rabbonim. He had to go to 100 rabbis and get them to sign that he could divorce this woman. So he went all around Europe, and that was the turning point of his life. And so he'd visit all kinds of places. So, and he was known, he was young then, maybe 20, very young. And he was already known throughout Europe as the biggest prodigy, like unbelievable, like incredibly smart. So anyway, so he stops off in Ishbitz. So what does he do? He goes to the Beis Medrash and he says, just to learn. So this was like his own personal exile, you know. So anyway, so someone comes in and asks, are you Reb Tzadok? He says, yeah, the Ishbitzer wants to see you. Okay. So Reb Tzadok, who was, again, not Hasidic at all, he says, well, tell the Rebbe, you know, I'm not so nispol from that, you know, the fact that the Ishbitzer, like it wasn't like it was posted, like the Ishbosheth is sitting in his house and he can sense that Reb Tzadik's in the city. You know, that's what it means. Like, in other words, there wasn't people schmoozing, oh, Reb Tzadik's here, word gets Ishbosheth, right? Ishbosheth's in his little Dalet Amos and he tells one of them, I think Reb Tzadik's here. So he says, I'm not impressed by that. I'm not impressed by that. I'm gonna learn. You know? And he didn't go. And a few days pass, he's still learning the base parish. He doesn't go to the Ishbitzer. So it's Friday night's the Tish. So the Ishbitzer's got his big Tish over there. So Reb Tzadik, comes in for the Tish. And he's out by the doorway, you know, in the back over there. Everybody gets up. Reb Tzadik's a gadol even then. They all get up for Reb Tzadik, and the Ishbitzer invites him to sit next to him, but he declined. And he stood in the back. He just observed the whole Tish. And that's how went the whole Shabbos. The Tish in the day, he stands at the side, everything. So Shal Shudis in the dark, right? So the Ishbitzer is talking and talking and talking, a long, long talking. So suddenly, everybody hears a tremendous scream, a blood-curdling scream. And it was coming from Reb Tzadik. And Reb Tzadik was crying, and he was saying, the Rebbe is burning a hole in my heart. The words of the Rebbe is burning a hole in my heart. And he's crying. So then finally he breaks down. And Reb Tzadik, he says to the Ishbitzer, he says, Rebbe, my problem is that I have a brain, but I don't have a heart. I don't have a heart. So the Rebbe said, you certainly have a heart, but you have to, it's hard to say in English, he says, you have to hearten your heart. Not harden, hearten. To be mislav lev as halev. In other words, to make the heart become a heart. The heart's there, you have to hearten it. You have to, you know, make it act like a heart. You have a heart, it's there, but you got to make it into a heart. So anyway, after Shabbos, the two of them met, and Reb Tzadik never left the Ishbitzer again. Never. So that's a person, what's the point? Why I tell you the story? Because he went to listen. You know, and therefore he didn't want to sit next to the Rebbe because, you know, he didn't want to get into the whole environment and be swayed by the environment. He said, he wanted to use his brain to understand, like, what's the issue here. He was listening with his brain. So Baruch Hashem, he had an honest enough brain to see the emes. You know, so that's the way you have to listen to a shmuz.
What happened to the wife?
He divorced her.
Oh, he divorced
her? Oh, yeah, he divorced her.
Sounds a little heartless.
No, listen, you don't understand. You don't understand where they're at. No, you don't understand the Kedusha that he had. I mean, he's a Kohen. If you're not a Kohen, you can't understand this. You know, I can't. A Kohen is a cut above the rest, and they act in a much more impeccable fashion. And if he mamish feels that it's not the right thing, you know, he felt it wasn't the right thing for whatever issues he felt, she wasn't at the right level. Whatever, it was a different world 100 years ago. And he's Reb Tzadik. He's not. It's not like me and you. You know, he is destined for greatness, and he has to have a Rebbetzin that's on that level of greatness. And if there's any little thing, it's just not for him. It's not for him. So anyway, so what happened? So that's the idea was he went. The point is, Reb Tzadik went with the Ratzon to break through. He must have been going through on whatever his level is. How can we analyze him? I mean, you're talking about a genius Shein Kamo in the generation. A genius, Shein Kamo, and he mamish, but and he knew Torah, Kol Torah Kula. He knew everything, but he knew something was missing. So he said, "I have to find it." That feeling of wanting to be close to Hashem on his level, okay? You know, he probably was much closer than we'll ever get before he even met the Ishbitzer. But on his level, the giant that he was, he knew something wasn't right. So he went to find out. So anyway, after the Ishbitzer Rebbe died, Reb Leibel Eger took over, and then Reb Leibel Eger died. Reb Tzadik became the Rebbe. Became the Rebbe for 13 years until he died in 1900. That's the first half of the story. Now we go to the next. That's an interesting story. So, well, I have to spice the sefer up a little bit. Right? Anyway, so at the end of Rav Tzadok's life, towards the end, comes another Ilui, unbelievable genius. And who's that? The Rugachover. Okay? I don't remember their first names. You just remember the city they come from, right? The Rugachover. Rugachover was an unbelievable, unbelievable Ilui, right? And you have to have Rachmanis on these guys. Why? Because they got nobody to talk to in learning. Can you imagine, like, you know, you go to these Rosh Yeshivas and you got all your questions. They don't know the answers, right? So he had no one to answer his questions. So the only person who could possibly, you know what he's talking about is Reb Tzadok. Because Reb Tzadok could match him toe to toe. And now he's an old Ilui, like an older man. So he goes to see, Reb Tzadok. So the Rugachover starts talking over all his kashas. And he's motoring away, blah, 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 blah. He's an incredible, incredible. This is one genius, like one computer mind with another computer mind. And the Rugachover feels, oh, finally I can speak to somebody, right? So Reb Tzadok's just listening to him. He doesn't respond. Then finally he finishes. So Reb Tzadok told him, you know, when I was your age, I was a bigger Ilui. I was smarter than you, right? Much bigger than you. You know, but it took me a long, you know, but it took me a long time until I came to the Ishbitzer. It took me a long time until I came to the Ishbitzer. And he says, you know, all this Torah that you're learning, the way you're learning it, it's no tachlis. There's no goal to all the Torah that you're learning. He says, the tachlis is to lick at the feet at the Baal Shem Tov and his teaching. And he sent him away. Out. I don't want to talk to you. So, what was the point he's trying to say? Not chasson, that learning isn't important. Learning is important, but it has to be learning with a heart. In other words, that, so it's like it was a deja vu that Reb Tzadok was seeing the Ishbitzer, and this was, turned the clock back, whatever, 30, 40 years. He's saying, you know, I was even smarter than you. And just being smart in Torah, you know, without having the ratzon to want to be close to Hashem in that way that's supposed to be, forget it. It's not worth anything. So that's a story of being able to listen and to understand how much you have to really want. Okay, anyway, let's get back into the topic at hand. But that's what he's saying. You got to find somebody that you really want to cleave and hang on to every word. And that's why, you know, the Hasidim got a Rebbe. They got a Rebbe for that. You know, imagine, you know, every Friday night you go to the Tish and, you know, Hashem blesses the Rebbe to understand what his Olam should hear, and he says those words, and that's the kind of Torah you have to say, and that's the kind of relationship that has to exist. Yeah?
I actually don't get that from that story. I'm having a problem with this whole section that he's talking about.
Okay, good.
Because in all the three cases, he's saying you have to work at it. You have to, day after day, you have to attach yourself to someone
right.
And listen to them, or you have to
right.
You know, have the bitterness day after day, or whatever. And that, to me, presumes there's a ratzon to do that. Like, there's a point where, like in the case of this, of Tzadok Kahn, he just showed up. One Shabbos and
no, but he was looking. He was looking.
I thought he was looking for 100 rabbis.
He was, but in the course of all that, that's what I'm saying. In the course of all that, there he was beginning to see that Hashem had destined him that he has to be listening to find something deeper. He was looking. He was looking. It wasn't just an accident. Yeah, you know, he came to hear, to be inspired. That's what you have to. The point of the stories is you have to come, you have to want to be inspired. You have to want to. So he had some ratzon. I'm saying there has to be some, and that's what the tzaddik is saying here. There is a ratzon. It's there. You may not even realize it, but at least you have to admit that it's there. You don't feel it. You try to find it. So Reb Tzadok was trying to find it. He was trying to find it. He says, there's got to be more to my frumkeit than what I'm doing. Right? So I'm trying to find it. That's a ratzon. That's a ratzon. The ability to say there's gotta be more, I've got to be, you know, this can't be all of what Yiddishkeit's all about. And I don't feel it, but you know, the Torah says that you have to be cleave to Hashem, you have to be close to Hashem. He knew all this for him. But he realized he wasn't feeling it.
Right? It seems to me that this...
Because if he...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
It seems to me that this section that we're talking about is like really fundamental to all the challenges that we face.
That's right. That's right.
But the story you told, there's a guy, that guy's already on a Rutzon level.
But remember, you have to remember, he's a Misnagid and he went to a Hasidic Rebbe. You don't understand how the gulf that existed in that time. So, you know, you have to have a certain intellectual honesty to say, like, I feel I need more. Right? So what's your question exactly?
One is that I just wasn't picking that up. Like I guess my problem is he hasn't really explained how you get that Ratzon to want to have the Ratzon. Because to have the Ratzon to want to have the Ratzon, you have to have the Ratzon to do those things that he's talking about here, these three ideas. You've got to stick with it. But if you don't have that Ratzon in the first place,
so we're still in the middle of this, right? Okay. But and admittedly, even after we're finished with it, it's not going to be easy. But you know, and you're right. If there's this sefer is not for most Jews. What can I tell you? It's not for most Jews. It's got to be people who are mevakshim. They're looking for something. If you're not looking for something, you're right. Nothing's going to happen.
So in
you're
terms
right.
of what we do as a curative organization, this isn't going to be much guidance. Like in other words, reaching out to other people.
Well. No, we have to do what it takes to cultivate the Ratzon. Now what, how can you cultivate a Ratzon? What I like to use the term is you have to create a healthy disequilibrium in a person. You have to say the things, if the person is, at least if the person's listening to you, okay, and is thinking, and then you can kind of show him without directly saying to him, you know, your life is worthless. The way you, no, but not direct, not direct. No, you're not saying that to the person. No, but you just show them. It could be as simple as they're invited to your Shabbos table and you have wonderful children that respect you and that guy's got brats and he's feeling nowhere and he realizes, wait a minute, how come this frum person, this is a happy family and I have a rotten family? Now you haven't said anything, but he begins to realize my lifestyle is worthless. And he says, well, what has he got that I don't have? Right? So that's how you can create a rutz. Right? That's what I know you're trying to market the shul. Ever since last Shabbos is Josh, right? How are you gonna market the shul? So that's the problem, that most of the Jews, unfortunately, have absolutely no rutz. It's there, but it's so far away. You know, just driving by and seeing West Mount Shul is going to do nothing. You know, expecting people to bang down the doors because we put up a sign. So you'll have a couple people who have a little bit epis more rutzon, epis. So you'll get a few stragglers, you know, of the 100,000 people who drive by, you'll get 5 or 6, you know, will walk in, you know, and for that, you know, that's nice. You know, but for more than that, it's difficult. You know, you're gonna have to, you have to go after them. You have to, you know, tell them, you know, why don't you come upstairs for Shal Shudas? You know, you're gonna have to go down into the Starbucks at Saturday at, you know, 6 o'clock. Say, would you like to see a real cool thing? Come on upstairs. And then before the lights are off, you know. And just come on upstairs, you know, and then that's how it's got to happen. And then again, you know, it's the vast majority will not appreciate it because they don't want it, and you can't feel. So that's why that's what the idea of the low hanging fruit, you know, that there are some Jews who epis some rutzen. I mean, you could see when certain people walk in that there's a certain rutzen that's there. That's why they're walking in, or there's some interest level. So those are the ones you have to work on. The ones that are totally disinterested, you know, it's a rachmanis. There's not much you can do. It's not much you can do. It's very difficult. But you know, Baruch Hashem, It's a numbers game. So you have 50,000 Jews in Vaughan. So even if it's 0.1%, that's still what? Why 1%? That's 500. No, because 500 would be very nice. You know, it's nothing to sneeze at, right? Baruch Hashem, we're working with those kinds of numbers, not in a place where there's only 300 to begin with. So then, like, you know, success is 3, right? So that's right. I can't say any more than that. So that's the catch 22. He's going to keep repeating this over and over, this catch 22 situation. So we're going to have to work on this. This is a very difficult concept here to work around. Very difficult. Right.
That's marketing, Rabbi. It's actually 50, but we wanted to make you feel like 500.
Okay, whatever. Okay. I'm saying, so listen. Budget. Listen, you know what? All our job is to try. So I keep saying, my job is to try. If Hashem wants to open up a few more hearts, that's His business. That's His business. You know, we can only do what we can do. Someone's gonna say, what did you help to do? Well, we put a learning center right in the middle of the densest area in Thornhill. So and I'll turn to Hashem. Hashem, what did you do to be Makar of Jews? What did you do? You know, you could say that. You could say, listen, what did you do? So Hashem will say, my gzera was, it shouldn't be. Okay, fine. So I accept it. But don't tell me I didn't do anything. And that's all you can do. It's not a game. In Yiddishkeit, it is certainly not how you win or lose, but it's definitely how you play the game. That you play the game. That you play the game. So that's all we can do. That's not the rest of the game. A lot of Hashem worry about it. Just like everything else. You go to work, let Hashem worry about how much success you'll have in Parnas, how much money. Let him have the headaches. You're just going to work. That's all I can do. It's the same thing here. You let Hashem worry about it. Shelly got a question?
Yeah.
I can't even tell, but without him raising his hand.
You know, I realize it's always possible to get closer. When I read and we learn what he's suggesting here, I mean, most of our community are coming from people who went to shul 3 times a year and now coming 3 times a day. They've turned their lives upside down only for one reason, primarily. I mean, not everybody, but mostly would think they want to get closer to Hashem. So,
I don't know if that was initially when they walked in the door that they were.
What other reason is there?
Well, okay, so that was the spark of the spark.
So,
but when they walked in, they didn't realize why they were going in.
You have to learn a little. Once you learn a little,
okay.
You see what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish.
Okay.
You know, it's not that you make yourself look better than your friends who you used to hang around with. It's you want to be closer to God, and that's the reason you do all these. Otherwise, why would you do all these things? You turn your life upside down.
Oh, I could tell you why a lot. I'm not saying you, but a lot of people would, because they're unhappy. They're unhappy.
They're going to get happiness by being closer. But I guess my point is, you can see that by the action. And these aren't easy. These are not easy things to do. The Ratzon is there. People are doing these things. So I don't see, you know, necessarily the strategies he's telling us as so applicable.
Again, I think what we're dealing with
When you're surrounded, like, don't forget. I don't know where he lives, but say you're living.
He lives in Yerushalayim.
Okay. So it's a lot easier when you're surrounded by the outside world and you're still swimming upstream and you're struggling with that, not struggling, but you're moving every day. You're doing something different here, something more there. You're being less, I won't say embarrassed, less shy. You're being more outwards about, you know, your faith and your religion and your observance.
Yeah.
You're doing these things on a daily basis, and I think that really clearly shows a lot more of the Ratzon.
Yeah, but remember what we said yesterday. There's Ratzon to a point. That's the issue here. Listen, he's talking to Frum Jews in Meir Shorim. They have Ratzon.
Ratzon.
No, he's talking to everybody. Everybody has Ratzon to a point, and then there's no Ratzon beyond that point. So it could be, let's say, the Baal Tshuva, his Ratzon is, you know what? I want to have a happy family. And I see Judaism is going to give it to me. Okay? So I have a Ratzon. So if it means the price to pay is to go to shul. And you know what? And the classes are interesting. And the people are nice. And I enjoy coming on Shabbos. You know, and you know, and it teaches me everything. You know, and it makes sense. Okay. But then this next, so then, you know, we get you to shul, and maybe you're keeping Shabbos, keeping kosher, you know, and obviously there's rutzim. I'm not saying there's not rutzim for that. But it's still, a lot of it is, but it's not ultimately this deeper idea of cleaving to Hashem and connecting to Hashem and surrendering your reality before Hashem. No, these are much higher levels. Much higher levels, right? And that's where the challenges begin to happen. And that's where people, the typical challenge with the Baal Tshuva or the frum person is, this is how frum I want to be. Rabbi, you're getting too extreme right now. And everybody has it at some place. Even the rabbi has it. You know. So, that is already too much. And that's because we're not really feeling the deeper closeness that's there. And that's what he's trying to teach us. There, everybody has the point where that's as far as I'm going, I'm not going any further. You know, like certain guys, you know, they're not putting on a hat for Dominic. You know? Not putting on, what do you mean you're not putting a hat for davening? The Shulchan Aruch says you put a hat on for davening. So where's all the rutzin?
So that means...
I'm not saying the hat. I'm not picking on the hat that the hat makes you frum. You know, I
that's true. That's what a lot of people do. They put the hat on because they want to look and fit in and look.
Exactly. So it's not the rutzin.
Okay.
Okay.
But the ones who aren't putting it on, but if the Shulchan Aruch says you should put it on, then your rutzin should be to put it on. Why don't you have the rutzin for that? You have the rutzin to put a kippah on, so why not hat? Well, whatever. It looks weird. I'm afraid to look too frum. What are you afraid of? It's not like it's not in the, Mishnah Berurah says you should wear a hat. He says you should wear a hat. Straight out. He doesn't mince his words. For Mincha Marv, you should wear a hat. You have to go with more covet. So, well, you know, it's a minority opinion that, you know, it's, or whatever. Whatever the issue is, you know, it doesn't have to be a hat. It could be something.
Don't wear their hat.
What?
I mean, I want to get into hat discussion.
Right, there's big problems with them. Big problems with them. I haven't had a good answer. I haven't heard one good answer from any of them yet. You know? I haven't heard one good answer. Rav Avinoam had no answer for me. I said, what's happening? Rav Kook wore a hat. Rav Kook wore a strimal. And you're all Rav Kook fans. So what happened? He said, I don't have an answer. So I said, you don't? With a smile. He said, I don't have an answer. Okay, so, you know. Don't get me going here. You know, I understand. You know why you don't wear it? Well, because Rav Kook is trying to be Makarev, the secular kibbutzniks, so he's not going to ask them to put a hat on. But you looked in the picture, the first yeshiva in Mosada Rav Kook, they all wore hats. They all wore hats. You know, somehow after he died, something happened. You know, and that's, you know, so I'm just saying it's, That's the problem. That's the problem. But the great rabbis, they still wear hats. The chief rabbis are wearing hats. You know, but that's for whatever reason they don't want to tell. But I'm just, it's not the hat. I could pick you another 20 things. You know, it's not the hat. Okay, it's how to conduct yourself on a Motzei Shabbos. You know, it's like, you know, for me to tell everybody, you know, Motzei Shabbos time you're supposed to learn. Supposed to learn Motzei Shabbos. Supposed to have Lava Malkah Motzei Shabbos. You're supposed to, but everybody feels they got to go out and play Motzei Shabbos. Still the way it was when we were teenagers, right? You know, they got to play. So it's something. You know, okay, Rabbi, I kept the Shabbos already. What do you want? I finished. You know, now I'm entitled to play. You know, like the kid in school, Rebbe. Come on, we learned Gemara. Now it's recess time. So come on, you kept me in school the whole Shabbos. Now it's recess time. Now I should go see a movie. You know, the movie undoes everything that the whole Shabbos did for you. Right? Because, so, in other words, I've decided how religious I want to be. That, how far my rutzin goes. But that's not the way Yiddishkeit was meant to work. You know, you be as religious as Hashem wants you to be. Then, you know, but for that I don't have the rutzin. I don't have the rutzin. So that, you see, gaping, it's not just Baal Tshuvas. It's a major problem with all the Yidden. It's Motzei Shabbos is pizza Shabbos. Like, you know what the feeling is? If you don't go out on Motzei Shabbos, you're a loser. You know? Go back when you were a teenager. Right? You know, they didn't make a whole niggin, you know, Saturday night. You know, it's Epis. You know why? You know why it is Saturday night? You know what? You know this phenomenon? What's the spiritual reason behind this all? Because Matzi Shabbos is the first time in the week that Elyonovi can come and bring the Mashiach. He can't bring Mashiach on Friday. He can't, because the women would never allow it. Gemara says, he's not going to bring it on Erev Shabbos. We can't bring Mashiach on Erev Shabbos. They're too busy with Shabbos. We can't bring it on Shabbos. So it's the first time in a week that Mashiach can come. It's Matzi Shabbos. It's a new week. It's the first time. Couldn't come for already a couple days. And Mashiach doesn't come. So because doesn't come, the neshama is crestfallen. Now you don't realize what's going on in your neshama. We don't realize. But that neshama, the whole Shabbos, it was like, oh, even if you're not into it, but your neshama is, oh, it's Shabbos, you know, oh, it'd be so good if Mashiach. Shabbos was me'enu elam haba, was a taste of the world to come. Oh, now it's Shabbos, it's Matzi Shabbos, Mashiach can come. And Mashiach doesn't come. So it's a tremendous disappointment, it's a tremendous loneliness. It's, oy vey, we gotta go to another week of Golus. Therefore, a Jew is in tune to that and understands exactly what's going on. So now what do you gotta do? That's why you make a Mo'ava Malka. And that's why you say stories of tzaddikim. And that's why you sing Eliyahu HaNavi. And you're yearning for the Mashiach. And that brings you consolation. You see. And you learn, and you do all those things, you know, and that's what the neshama needs to go on for the next week. But those who aren't in tune, but Epis, as like the PSS where I said, but there's something, you're feeling Epis weird. So what do you do if you feel weird? Well, you do something to stop the bad feelings. What do? You go out, and it's not just Jews, it's non-Jews too, right? You gotta go out and do something. And that's how you deal with that feeling, right? The worst feeling is, you know, Saturday night with no date. Like, boy, are you a loser. You know, people, they just, you gotta get out, you gotta be with it, you gotta do something, right? So there's the way that Chazal told you to do something, there's the way the rest of the world tells you to do something. Right? So, you know, if you really want to be close to Hashem, you understand what you want Matzah Shabbos, right? You know, so I never had, you know, for years, I haven't had a problem Matzah Shabbos. I'm so exhausted after Shabbos, because here's the problem. Let's go back. What's the problem? How many people, even they're keeping the Shabbos? What are they doing? They have a good shluf Friday night. They have a good shluf Shabbos afternoon. So they're not even going to be tired much of Shabbos. I have no trouble. Right after Shabbos, even at 6 o'clock in the winter, I go to bed right away. I'm exhausted from Shabbos. Okay, I have to keep myself up. Okay, I have to have malka, you know, because I just need the koyach for it. Okay. But most of the people, they're wide awake, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Ready to go? So what do? You go out, you know, go out and have a good time, you know, until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then you're taka tired, and then you can't make it to Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, where davening should be at 6:45, but I can't. Of a revolution here, right? It should be 6:45. Should have learning at 6 o'clock. It's just, we're not yet there. It's just not. I'm not going to give a class for three people. I just can't. I can't justify it. But so it's all like this spiral. So it means the Ratzon isn't there. The Ratzon isn't there. At some levels, I agree with you, Shelley. There's a certain Ratzon to a certain point, and then that next point where you just, I don't see why I have to do that. I don't see why that's important. Right? So then that's that place where the Ratzon stops. And everybody needs... That's the catch 22. So my Ratzon wasn't until here. The Ratzon isn't beyond. How's the Ratzon going to move beyond if I don't even want to go beyond and I don't have the Ratzon to go beyond?
So, there's no end until you die.
But that's Shelley, that's why God still keeps you alive. Shelley, if you already are there, so Hashem should take you away. What are you hanging around here for? You're finished. You know, when a person is finished, he's finished. Right? So, you know, the whole idea is, you know, there's a never-ending growth track. You want to grow as far as you can in the limited time you have. It's, you know, remember there used to be this show, these supermarkets, whatever, if you're the winner, they'd give you 2 minutes to fill up a shopping cart, you know, and the guy would run first to the meat section because that was the most expensive stuff, you know, to get the most that he could. And Mamash had guys, Meshuga. It's like, your mama should watch it. Did you ever watch it? I don't know if they have these shows anymore. There was a great Musser in that. Mama, she's got 2 minutes. He's flying around. It's all I got. Whatever I can pack it in. So you know what? The 70 years we have is the 2 minutes in the supermarket. And we should be flying and jumping. Whatever I can get, I'm going to cash it in later. Right? But you need the rutzen. So again, Mr. Shem, Hashem should help us. We have to daven for that rutzen.